We're good.
We're ready.
Okay, we'll go ahead and call a meeting to order. Opener remarks will be given by Chief Lloyd. And Rob, we did mind doing the pledge?
Yep.
Our dear Father, that we pledge to be in this position. Be grateful for our opportunity to be here and discuss the work of this city. Father, we're thankful for those that serve in this community and give their time and their talents to make it a better place to live, to pray that I would continue to bless this area and bless those that take their time to try to make it. We ask at this time a special blessing upon our military and as they go through this conflict, that they'll be given the protection that they need and that this conflict may come to a close with you. And we ask for the blessing of thy spirit to be upon us to discuss the work here and be able to accomplish the things that we need. Spirit of cooperation. We're grateful for this area that we live in. Be able to raise our families here. The blessings that it provides for us and our families.
Amen.
Please rise. Call me in pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Trent and Rob. Thanks, Trent, for that prayer. He's not listening to me, but thank you. Thanks for remembering our troops and stuff. It's arms away. Appreciate that so much. We need to remember that always. By way of roll call, all council members are present, with the exception of Gardner, and he's and ask to be excused. Bob is here, Michelle's here, so we're out of quorum. So I would consider a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting held on February 10th and February 24th.
Unless there are any corrections, some would like to tender. The minutes appear to be in order and accurate. I would move to approve the minutes of the city council meetings held on February 10th and February 24th. Of 2026.
Second. Spend a motion in the second.
Harrington, aye.
Hanson, aye.
Chapel, aye.
Thomas, aye.
Motion carries. Item six is to consider a motion to approve the warrants and cash disbursements for February of 2026.
Unless there's any discussion, those looked in order to me. I move that we approve the warrants cash disbursements of February 2026.
Second.
The motion and a second. Council member Harrington.
Harrington, aye.
Hanson, aye.
Chapel, aye.
Thomas, aye.
Okay, item seven is if there's any declaration of conflict of interest. Hearing none, we will move into our business portion of our meeting. Item A is Fire Chief Dustin Anderson to report on the fire department and discuss the purchase of a new fire truck.
So real quick, I'll just wrap fire through some of this stuff. Just going to talk briefly about fire department, a little bit of history, a little bit about personnel, and a little bit about current projects, and then future needs. So In 2024, the Richfield Fire Department hit 100 years. They were formed in 1924. We are comprised of 25 firefighters is the number that we keep. Every single one of our guys right now is fully certified in structure firefighting, wildland firefighting, hazmat ops and awareness. It's a huge deal to have that certification level with our guys, and it really makes us one of the premier, if not the premier, volunteer fire department in the state of Utah. It's a big deal. So our firefighters are on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have training meeting every single Monday night that we meet together, train for usually 2 hours on average. In addition to structure fires, we respond to vehicle accidents, wildland fires, hazmat incidents, rescue situations, kids stuck in swings at the park. Every now and again, we get a cat stuck in a tree. So that's kind of what we do. We also obviously support a lot of community events, lights parade. Next one coming up is the Lantern Festival that we help with quite a bit. State high school championship runs, we enjoy doing those. And then obviously the 4th of July is our big commitment. Before we do the fireworks and parade and other things, 4th of July fireworks show alone is the biggest thing that we do all year. It takes over 300 man hours to prepare and get the fireworks ready and launch the fireworks. So it's a pretty big deal for us. Our call volume the last couple of years, we've averaged 130 calls for the last 2 years. In addition to Richfield City, we also cover Central Valley, Annabella, Glenwood, Venice, Sigurd, and then we have mutual aid agreements with Kesherm. So anything that Kesherm gets paid to, we also do. So we run to Kesherm and cover all of Fish Lake as well. So, and then anything that Monroe or Salina or Aurora need, as far as if they get something big, then they'll page us out to come and help on anything that they need that way. Last year, obviously, the biggest thing that we had was the Monroe Canyon fire. We had guys that worked on that fire for 28 consecutive days with that fire, and we had a crew that was on the initial attack of that fire for the first 72 hours, pretty much 72 hours straight. So those guys and the trucks that we had up there were a huge deal and a huge asset in that first initial attack. Our guys alone helped to save well over a dozen structures up there. So it was a big deal. Probably the biggest fire that we will see wildland-wise for quite a while. Another thing that we recently went through in 2024 was an ISO review. ISO stands for Insurance Services Organization. They come and they do it. This year it was a one-day deal. I know when Rob was chief, it was kind of a two-day ordeal, but they come and they go through books, they go through training records, they look at all of our fire apparatus and basically radar capability on responding to structure fires. This last go around in 2024, they ended up giving us a rating, or a class 4 rating, which is the best rating that the city has ever had. The best one prior to that we've ever had is a class 5. So that's a big deal. What ISO does, ISO is a company that all of the major insurers use to look at as far as when they issue and compute their insurance rates. So it's something that affects everybody in our coverage area. So a lot of people don't know much about that, but that can be a fairly big deal. Recent projects, we've just, the fire station just hit 13 years old. So with that, there's been some necessary upkeep and replacement projects that we've done. We've had to do some HVAC replacement on some of the AC units. We've had to fix a couple door openers, just stuff like that. We recently had to repaint all of the garage roll-up doors along with some of the panels on the building because they had the sun fade them out. And had to do a tile repair. So just kind of general upkeep that's had to been done on the station recently. The next thing that's coming up as far as that goes is 5 years ago, the county was able to get a huge federal grant, and all of the fire departments in the county were able to get all new SCBA units along with bottles. And every 5 years, those bottles have to be hydro tested. So we're now at the 5-year mark on those. So that's the next big thing that we're going to have to do. We've got that out to bid right now to find out how much that's going to be. Along those lines, every year, we've got a couple guys in the department who are kind of experts at writing grants. And every year they write grants, a handful of different grants that we go for. There's a wildland grant that we try to get every year. There's a license plate. So all of the firefighter license plates that you see, the Utah Firefighters Association gives out grants from the money that they get from those plates. So last year we were able to get a grant, a $5,000 grant from Rocky Mountain Power that one of our guys wrote. So we're always trying to write those type of grants. They're usually not very big, $5,000-$10,000, but we use that money to help with equipment needs and repairs, general stuff like that. So we're always in that mode. Our apparatus that we have at the fire station, our newest fire engine that we have now that we use is now 10 years old. Just recently, the city just recently made the last payment on that truck, so that truck is now paid for. So there's no payments being made on any of the trucks because most of them are pretty old. The ladder truck that we use is 21 years old, and then the next fire engine that we use is 29 years old. The two water tenders, the tankers that we use quite a bit and that we used a lot on the Monroe fire, both over 20 years old. So it's an aging fleet. With that aging fleet obviously brings repairs and various maintenance costs. One of the water tenders, we're doing a major refurbished job on the tank itself and doing some major repairs on that truck this year. So the fleet is getting older. So basically what I'm here today to do is not only give you an update on just things in general, but to talk about ordering a new fire truck, a new fire engine. Rob kind of talked about that last city council meeting, I believe, and got us on the short list as far as city projection for city planning for a new fire engine. The reason that we're talking about it now and trying to get ready for it is because there's not very many companies in the nation that build fire trucks. There's only two or three. And the one that we like to use, the one that's the best company, has a huge lead time now. What used to take 18 months now takes 30 months. So the trucks that we're looking at and some that we've got some rough bids on, the one has a 30-month lead time and the other one has like a 42-month lead time on getting built. So the lead time on it is crazy. The costs on those trucks have gone crazy like everything else. The last engine that we bought, the one that's now 10 years old, cost on that one was about $800,000, and to build that same truck now is $1.2 to $1.3 million. So cost, has gone up virtually 50%, and that's happened just within the last 5-6 years. So it's crazy how much.
Dustin, you're looking to supplement the existing fleet or replacing one of the older units with this?
Yeah, we need to replace one. Right now we're still deciding whether we want to replace an engine. So basically we've got three engines that we use. Like I said, the first one's 10 years old, the next one's 21 years old. So looking at either replacing one of the engines or one of the we have two water tenders, tanker trucks that we use quite a bit. Because really Richfield City Annabelle are really the only ones with hydrant systems in the cities. Glenwood has some, but not great. And so whenever we go anywhere else, we're always bringing water with us, right? So the tenders are something that we use quite a bit, and especially on any of our wildland fires, we obviously use the water tenders quite a bit. So also looking at replacing one of those tenders with what's called a tanker truck, which you can get one with a 2,000 gallon or 3,000 gallon tank on it, but also has pump capability, so we could also kind of use it dual purpose as a water hauler and also as an engine.
Is that what you'd prefer?
I kind of thought that's the way we were heading, but we had this fire today, and that second engine that we were using up there is such a piece of crap.
Is that the white?
The KME.
The KME? What about the FMT?
I think the FMT is a better truck than the KME, honestly.
I would think it was a better truck.
So after being up there and fighting it today, I'm thinking, holy cow, maybe we just need to get a new engine. So we're still debating that as officers, and we'll talk with you guys when we get to that point. But probably going to get bids on both and then decide. But so anyway, what I'm here today is asking for the council's permission, approval to go ahead and pursue getting bids and start down the road on ordering a new engine. As far as money goes, what's happened in the past is the county has committed to pay for half of the engines that we've bought, because we cover so much and have these mutual aid agreements with the county. So county has always agreed to pay for half, and then beyond that, we're going to try to get with CIB and make a proposal to CIB and hope to get CIB on board and maybe get some type of a 50-50 grant or loan or something from them as well. So that's where we're at. That's kind of what we're looking at and what we're here for tonight. So any questions?
I guess one more. So you answered my other question. So at some point in time, I assume if we replace, say, the whole engine, then that becomes surplus property. I assume there's some residual value left in those as well, correct?
Some, but the problem with these is they're old enough that the residual value on them just
no more than water collectible as a parts truck or something.
Pumps.
Almost, yeah, I get to that point. There are a couple companies that do consignment sales that sell them, you know, on the secondhand market, but
that's not right. I don't make it go to a municipality or whatever, just somewhere in the private sector. Mm-hmm. Something you just want on a fire truck.
Yeah. That's what we did with the brush truck that we sold this year. Sold that to a private individual and actually got double the value out of that I thought we would get. So there's a couple different avenues that we can look at, but I don't know how much value we'll get out of them at this point, but some.
Sure. Something. Thank you.
In our discussion, I just want council to understand that with the lead time on this, we have no guarantee. Yet. So we got to be prepared to pay for that half. And I think the county needs to understand that as well. You're talking two years.
I assume we put a sizable deposit down to start that process.
They can't, you know, we can't. Get,
no, not that. Necessarily. Okay. You can. But they don't hold, like, the last time we bought, the last fire truck we bought, we didn't put a deposit down.
Okay. I'm just saying, just be aware that you're going to have to walk that. I thought this comes about.
So
I don't know why they wouldn't fund
the truck till it's delivered, typically.
Is that correct? What you're saying? At least the last one, again, it was 10 years ago.
So does it make sense to go to CIB at that time instead of?
Well, yeah, they wouldn't do. They wouldn't fund that now. We're 3 years away.
I wouldn't think so.
So did the cost go up last time, Ross? From the time we ordered it to the time we actually bought it, it didn't increase in cost.
Yeah.
And so we run out of potential too, mm-hmm. Right?
Correct. Yeah. The other option you have is once you place the order, you can pay for the thing up front.
Correct.
Lock in the price, and that's an option, so.
So at that point, which is the CIP, we knew what it was going to cost.
Yeah, I just don't, I've never been to CID, so I don't understand how, I mean, if they'll front the money on something that's still 3 years out from being delivered, so I don't know how CID works that way.
We have to call and ask, but if it's an option to pay upfront, then we want to consider that.
That would definitely be a plus if we can do that, because that way they, I just don't think they're going to commit to $1 million 3 years away.
Yeah.
One of the advantages when we did the last region was that, you know, we had been awarded the money, we closed on it, and then the money was obviously sitting in a BPIP, and we currently collected interest while they were building the truck. So that's how we equipped the truck ourselves, was basically with that interest earned. We were able to do some changes to the truck and do some things that normally would be paid upfront. I don't know if you could do all those things unless you obviously add all that built into there first.
Yeah, because not only was there interest, but.
Yes, maybe less bigger interest. I mean, I've seen, yeah.
But potentially, this thing could go into three, maybe four different budget cycles before we have to pay for it.
Well, the truck that you just got took 2 years ago, it took us three years to get. Yes, it went through three budget cycles.
But I think if we can lock it in, I think that would probably be, if we can do that with the CIB.
Yeah, so I haven't talked to the commissioners yet. That's my next step after I talk with you guys is to go meet with them and you know, get a commitment from them as far as if they're still willing to do half, and then after that, talk to people that know CIB, Ralph, and you guys. I don't know who knows CIB. I don't know anything.
I guess the situation wouldn't be a new one for CIB. I'm sure things like this have been proposed to them. Numerous times, so we can probably get pretty good read on what they have done or if they want to do in the past.
Well, they funded our last.
Yeah, they do them all the time. I think it, like, given the circumstances of the lead time on the truck, it'd probably be worth having a conversation with Candace there to ask for recommendation on how to approach it.
It would be good to have a conversation with that.
You could reach out to Salina to see what lead times they have put it up there.
Jeff told me that they were only, like, if I remember right, he told me like 18, 20 months on there because they did the commercial chassis, so.
Because they were all CIB funded.
Well, go get the commissioners and then get a quote.
Yeah.
And see, you know, get all that information as far as prepay and whatever, and then.
Okay. People do. Any other questions?
Thank you.
I got a bail on you because we got so there's a international fire investigator convention going on right now at the fairgrounds, and I got to go to a meeting with them right now. So you know, I'm gonna leave if you don't mind. But
you should
appreciate you guys.
You should put your tie on. You're neck girl too.
Thank you.
Extend her or lose 20 pounds. Extend her is much easier.
Thanks, Dustin, for you guys and what you do. Item B is librarian Stephanie Anderson to report on the library.
Is this his phone? Is he giving me back for it?
No, that's Dave's.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Dave. Oh, you mean this red square? I shouldn't push that? Okay, I'm kidding. I didn't push it, Dave. Hi. Nice to see you all. Here to report on the library. I don't know when the last time someone reported on the library was, so I'm not sure how far back to go in what's been happening at the library. It had a rough few years, but we're in full recovery mode. If you haven't been to the library in a while, you should come by. It's looking a lot better. It looks amazing. Most of the people who walk in in the last couple months say, whoa. So if you'd like to say, whoa, you should come next door and check it out. One of the things that we've implemented this year is that we are no longer charging fines on overdue books, trying to take the shame out of library books. And so far that's been received very positively. We were one of the last libraries in the state to still be charging overdue fines. And I hear from all the directors that it actually, people are more likely to bring their books back when they don't owe fines than if they do. So trying to just, you know, get more books back. It's been good. We've been applying for lots of grants. I just saw my 8-year-old son. It distracted me. What is he doing here? To the American Rural and Small Library Conference in Albuquerque in September. And one of the vendors there was a company called Shush Booth. And I thought, well, that might just do the trick at our library. Because about once a week, I've got someone come in, usually off I-70, who needs our free Wi-Fi for some kind of Zoom meeting or something. And they come in and ask for a meeting room, which, of course, we don't have any meeting rooms. And they're like, well, I just need some privacy. And I say, well, I sit in the corner and talk quietly. And inevitably, they find their way to the bathroom and lock themselves in the bathroom to have their Zoom meeting. And first of all, it's embarrassing to sit on a toilet while you have a Zoom meeting. Second of all, no one can use the bathroom. And about once a week, someone would come and say, someone's been in the bathroom for an hour. And anyway, so in order to solve that problem, when LSCA grants came up, I applied and got money to buy a Shush booth. So now if you come to the library, it's just kind of a little study pod thing. It'll fit 4 people comfortably. It's not soundproof. If you can't go in there and practice your trumpet, if you scream, I will hear it, but it's definitely muffled, and we've had a lot of people using it daily. Someone's in there having some kind of meeting, or homeschoolers like to use it to meet and tutor their kids or tutor other kids. It's been used a lot. It's been good. So that was a $10,000 grant we got. Another one we got was to buy all new computers for the library. I actually had a computer guy come look at my computers before I got this grant to see what could be done. And one of them, he was like, whoa, I didn't know these even still existed. It was like a museum piece. He was so impressed. So not really what we want to be famous for. So we got another grant and got, there's all new spiffy, fast computers at the library. We also got another grant to do a makerspace. So we were going to have some 3D printers at the library. Don't have those set up yet. I'm working on it. But got 3D printers. And part of that grant, we also got a quilting machine. Yeah. Apparently, if you live in the Midwest, Amish country, Ohio-ish, every library has a quilting machine. And in some of my online quilting groups, people are talking about how in the world do I finish my quilt? And all the people in the Midwest are like, well, can't you just go to the library? And everyone in the rest of the country is saying, no, what are you talking about? So when this LSTA grant came up and they said, you can apply as many times as you want, I actually applied 3 times, which being a newbie, I thought was a great idea. And now that I'm in the thick of it, I'm like, this is insane. You shouldn't apply for 3 LSTA grants all at the same time. You really shouldn't. Unless you really like doing reports and paperwork and things. So the quilting machine is at the library right now. Still trying to figure out how it works and how to teach other people how to make it work. But when it's up and going, people will be able to come finish their quilts at the library. And there's been a lot of excitement about that. One of our most successful programs at the library is our Mom and Me program. And we started doing this program in 2015, ran it for a couple years, and then it stopped and started again in 24. And it is so popular right now. We're doing it 4 days a week. And it's kind of a Black Friday feel when that link lands to register for each month of Mom and Me. Because if you're not registered within 20 minutes, you're probably not getting in. I had a couple moms in registering for March that didn't get in. They wanted Wednesdays. And I was like, can you come any other day? And they couldn't. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. Wednesdays are full. And I hate turning people away, but there's just not room in the basement to fit all the 3 to 5 year olds in Richfield all at the same time. So that program has been very popular and a little bit too popular sometimes. But I told them, get on there faster next month. Let's see here. Right now we're running the winter reading program. We've got over 500 people signed up for that. We set a goal of reading 10,000 books between January 12th and March 31st, and we're well over 8,000 right now. So we're going to make that goal. We've been giving out fizz drinks for reading your books, so it's not too late to join, guys. You can count any book you finish since January 12th. Log it. Every 3 books, I'll give you a free fizz drink, up to 5. So I know you've been reading, right? So you can still jump in and get a piece of that if you want. Audiobooks count. Counts if your wife's reading to you. All counts. I did have, I wanted to mention, I had a historical architect stop by, just someone passing through the other day, and he was very interested in my little, I don't know what they're called, the cracks in the library that someone has put little measuring things on. And he came to tell me, they've moved, you know, your cracks are getting bigger. Like, I don't know how to read those things, but how bad is it? He's like, well, you're going to lose that front corner of your building. And I said, okay, how much would that cost to fix it? And his best guess was about $150,000. So I'm not here asking for money tonight. I just thought I'd let you know that and can be on your radar. Any other questions I can answer about the library while I'm here?
You've got the 3D printer, you've got the flipping machine, and if you look at doing any other things, I've seen, I guess, on the internet, on Instagram, but some of them include like mixers or weed whackers.
Wouldn't that be cool? At the Payson Library, you can check out a kayak. Wow. Yeah. But I don't know where I would put them. Right now, the big problem why 3D printers aren't up and going yet, or even the quilting machine, is trying to rearrange everything in the library to make room for it all and figure out where people can be and use these things and make noise while they're using them, because we can't fit everyone in the shush booth. So right now, it's all about room. But yes, that would be amazing. I also, as part of the grant, got a Cricut and a button machine. So if you need to make buttons for, you know, the pin-on kind, I can also help you out with that.
So where are you going to put a, is it a long arm?
Okay, so yes, kind of, but it's a new Bernina hoop frame. So you actually just hoop sections of your quilts and do it, and then you've got to unhoop it and hoop the next section and do it so that you can do any size quilt. But yeah, the first sewing place I called and asked how much space I needed, and they said, oh, about space about 18 by 21, and I was like, oh, no can do. But this one I only need about 8 by 10. So.
I've got some one of them.
Yeah, you should come over and see it.
They're long arm.
Yeah, they take up a lot of room, though.
They do.
So, got a more compact solution going over there. All right. Hope to see you all in the library soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Item C is a Planning Commission report.
Okay, so we had Planning Commission last week. Had a pretty light agenda, actually. First one was Tyson Thompson, Dad's Garage. He came in to relocate his business. It's currently located on the end of Center Street here. It's that auto shop down there, and he's moving to building out on, it's off of 300 North, kind of behind KMR Diesel and Steve Reagan.
Behind Steve Reagan.
Yeah, and there's like a flag lot and there's a big shop back there, and Steve Reagan bought it, wanted to retain, because they wanted to retain some parking. And they said, hey, we have this huge shop, are you interested? So that's what he's doing. It was a C1 use, actually it's a C2 use, so he'll, so I guess you guys need to approve it too, but anyway. The Planning Commission recommended approval of that. It seemed like a good fit. There's other uses like that in the area already. it'll be good for him. He can, and he'll kind of clean up an area as well. We had one daycare come in on the end of Ogden Drive, west end of Ogden Drive, and that was also approved, an in-home daycare. Let's see. We also are continuing to work on our RM11 development standards amendment, and we're doing a lot of things with this, and I'll probably be sending a copy of this out to you guys. Kendall wanted to go through and clean up a few things before we present it to you, but I'll probably send this out later this week to all you guys in an email so you have a chance to kind of look over it. We'd like to maybe have the council have a work session on it, see what their thoughts are before we move into the public hearing phase. We'd like to move into the Planning Commission's public hearing on the first meeting in April. So be looking for that. And that was basically it, other than I have two planning commissioners who are leaving. I have one that was put in a bishopric, and he's got enough stuff going on. He didn't feel like he could commit time anymore. So Wayne Calley's leaving the Planning Commission, and then I also have our chairman, Josh Peterson, his home sold for some reason. I thought he was reasonable, but he said he wants to live in Glenwood, so I don't know about that. But anyway, his home sold, so we'll be looking for some replacements. I've advertised it on our website. I have some applications from the last go-around, and then I have gotten another application since then, so I think we'll have some applicants for you guys to take a look at probably at the next meeting, too. I'd like to see if we can get an appointment done.
Did you put a list together in your email?
Mm-hmm.
Just send out who's on there?
Yes, yeah.
Who's going to be on there?
The second ward sitting in the back precedence, of course. That's how we lost Landon Larson when they put him in as bishop, and they just released him.
Oh, well, maybe he can come back.
And Wayne went as a counselor for that new reorganization, so we've lost the time they reorganized that bishopric.
Well, now that we know that, maybe I should go slip an application on Landon's desk.
He's looking for something to do now.
Yeah, he doesn't have anything to do that during the week, so.
Don't go back to see that permanent smile on his face. It's not like Botox or anything. He just can't help it.
Hey, I got released from one too. Same weekend. That's why I'm so chipper. So, anyway.
Thanks, Dave. Okay, item D is to consider approving a conditional use C2 for Dyson Thompson to locate an auto mechanic shop at 385 North 800 East, as recommended by the Planning Commission. I think this is a good thing.
Me too. If there isn't any discussion, I will make a motion that we approve a conditional use C2 for Tyson Thompson to locate an auto mechanic shop at 385 North 800 East, as recommended by the Planning Commission.
Second. And a motion and a second. Council Member Harrington.
Harrington, aye.
Hanson, aye.
Chapel, aye.
Thomas, aye.
Okay, motion carries. Item E is to consider adopting Resolution 2026-4, accepting the annexation petition filed by Mark Egberson, is that right?
Egberson.
Collaborative makes it. Egberson. A property located at approximately 1050 West, 1800 South.
I'll move that we accept the Resolution 26-4, annexation petition filed by Mark Egberson at approximately 1050 West, 800 South.
Second.
Put a motion and a second. Council Member
Harrington, aye.
Hanson, aye.
Chapel, aye.
Thomas, aye. Carries. Item F is to consider adopting Ordinance 2026-1, prohibiting accessory storage units, portable storage units, from being located on Main Street from North I-70 interchange to 1500 South. Proper verbiage that you want in there, or do you want cargo containers. That could be a it's not addressing the issue.
The ordinance itself references portable storage container.
And it does say including cargo containers.
I guess I'm not seeing that on the...
Yes, underneath this.
Oh, on the... On, okay, all right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad that they've made that a little broader, not just cargo containers, because somebody else is going to find a way around it. See, this isn't one of those cargo containers, something different. So I think the ordinance takes care of it to a little potential.
So what about, like, what about... What about like the whites for construction or for a temporary? Are they okay with?
Are you talking about a dumpster?
No, they rent.
For temporary use, it's still allowed.
Okay.
It's just not becoming a permanent fixture. So like that fifth line J, there's one right that's right here. There's one that's right here, and it's a permanent fixture there. Actually, that estimate's done because he had some things that helped spend us a lot of for temporary use, you're okay.
Okay.
You have an excess in the quarter during the Christmas holidays. The extra mile, and they switch their brand into a shelf.
So we're okay with the Walmart.
Temporary things, it's still out. It's just having more permanent fixtures on Main Street.
Does it identify a length of time that qualifies as temporary?
Not in this one, it doesn't, but it doesn't hurt on.
Oh. Depending on the use, like if it's construction, it's basically installed.
So it's, I thought it was kind of interesting how this read here with, so it's, you've got the X in the downtown district, so it's just, that's not, that applies to any downtown zone. Plus we've kind of augmented that to include that Main Street corridor, the north and south, right?
Yeah, because they were already disallowed in the downtown area, so that's only from third and south.
According to this, it would be a CYU, so it could be a mall.
Yeah. Well, that's a commercial shop.
Yeah, but that's what it is.
But the downtown
because we don't want to make it so that other commercial shopping doesn't have it. It's the one that's why it's just.
I like it.
Well, I'll make the motion then that we adopt ordinance 2021 prohibiting accessory storage units from being, or portable storage containers from being located on Main Street from the north by 70 interchange to the south.
Second. Motion
and
second. Councilmember
Barrington, aye.
Councilmember Hill.
Hanson, aye.
Chapel, aye.
Thompson. Carries. Other business. Trent, you?
Been super busy with a bunch of major cases that I don't see, but other than that, there are camera grants, $15,000 grant that are up.
Pete? Bob? Are you gonna update on the?
Yeah.
Okay. Nope, I'm good. Kevin?
Just FYI, the High School Activities Association has held a number of dates next year for both basketball and wrestling. We've had some phone calls that have come all the way up to President McKiff about why no basketball? And some of it has been rotation in and out. And anyway, we're working closely with the association as well as with hotels to see if we can solve some of the issues that have come up. And we're hoping to snatch some of those dates for next year. And, we're going to meet tomorrow. First Independence Day meeting, so we're excited for the 250th anniversary of our nation. So, yeah.
Kip?
I just want to send out some, I guess, kudos to Keith's crew. We had one of those occasion wells on our street here last week that quickly as that was ascertained, they were on that very quickly. Very minor disruption as far as shutting off service to any of the surrounding properties. Proper notification went out, right prices to that. But also they quickly took care of the problem and didn't just leave some barriers around it for days and weeks. It was finished, including putting the cold patch back on that spot virtually as soon as the job was done. So I've seen some of those places when people melt some of the jobs for weeks. And these guys literally did it in hours. So thank you, Keith. You got a good crew.
Quick update on the R. We've got kind of a site plan put together I could share with you guys soon. It's looking like we're going to be able to kind of knock that knob down a little bit and create another pad and actually expand the workable fireworks area there on that and place the R a little bit off to the side and towards the front. So anyways, that is actually working out quite well, I think. And then they've gotten some a couple other big donations that have come in, and one business owner in town even said, I'm not going to give you an amount right now that I'll donate. Just come to me when you're done and ready, and I'll make up whatever difference you need to get it done. So, anyways, wait for that to happen.
Well, I was going to make a donation.
You still can, Kip. You still can.
I think you're on this guy's break.
No, it's been really neat to see how supportive that is, and we're planning on meeting tomorrow at 4. I can't remember if I told you that, Rob, but if you're available, we'll just come in here again. That'd be good. And then I just like to add kudos to Stephanie. Thank you for your efforts on the library and that. It's neat to see the updates and the improvement and the effort that's put in there. It's really great. I'm a big fan of libraries in towns. I've lived in some other places where they have really nice libraries and just
Thank you.
Michelle? Yeah, you do. We got awarded the LWCF for $300,000 to replace the pump houses out at the golf course. And I think that was all that was in the scope of that project, correct?
Irrigation improvement.
Then we're also at a filter that's going in, and we come across some controllers and stuff from a fellow that's going to help us with that. It's going to help irrigation out there immensely, I think, so. And there's a lot of good things that's happening right there right now, so hopefully we can get things better out that way. But anyway, that was a blessing to get that, for sure.
It's a 50% match we have to come up with.
And the water project, I guess, is about completed out there. It's going to move. So he's got it. It's through the valve there.
Yes, through the canal. Through our little test station and stuff there, through the canal.
Well, you know when they're going to start on the Nelson Park sprinklers?
Today? Are you going to be able to trench all that, or is that six going to have to be dug in? That's the, you say Fourth West?
No, the chip seal project.
The chip seal.
Yeah.
Okay. Where's the Fourth West? What are we talking?
It's in the time phase.
So we're not going to get it done by school starting?
No. It won't even be started for next year. So the bridge is coming close to being ready to put out the bridge. But that won't, construction on that won't happen until the end of the year because of the water.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds like things are moving along for the snail space. And they start tearing the pool down on the 13th?
16th.
Okay.
We got an access report back on the old pool. We had one guest that looked like they was extended for asbestos. And we were told that all we have to do is remove that section, put it somewhere, and they would eventually come and get it and fill it up. And then once that pond, then they did not fill it and don't have any issue.
So that's really going to change up there real quick. Okay.
I'm going to wait here.
Second.
No, I'm wearing it.
Eric and I. Ask your mic.
Say if somebody gets second, that could also happen.
I know, right?
Pretty
hot.
Not 8 o'clock yet.
I know, I thought we could get out of here by 7:30.
Better not.
That's the